What up, everyone? This episode is with Peyton Sartain. She is a lifestyle blogger in Los Angeles. She's from Texas. We talked about a bunch of stuff. We talked about cyberbullying. We talked about bullying in general. We talked about diets. We talked about yoga, anxiety, some meditation. We talked about the process of blogging, like what it takes to actually be a blogger and make money blogging, and how demanding it really is, contrary to what it seems like it might be. We talked about staying true to yourself. We talked about moving away from home. We talked about having a reason why you do things. And then I asked her some rapid fire questions at the end. Hope you guys like it. This is Peyton Sartain. She's from Texas and she's living in LA. All right, let's go.
Curious.
One time.
All right, so I'm Peyton, and I'm a blogger based in Los Angeles currently, but I'm from Texas originally. I am just kind of a lifestyle blogger, I like to say, so that means I share things like style and health and wellness and things like that. Anything that inspires me and makes my life a little easier, I like to share with people who follow me on social media and who read my blog and now who, you know, follow me on YouTube and things like that. I really enjoy writing the most, so I write a lot on my blog, and basically I just kind of use my presence to help people out and make their life easier and inspire them to, you know, go do whatever the fuck it is that they want to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you ever write like in journals and stuff like that, or do you most just type computer?
Oh, I write in journals like a psychomaniac.
Do you really?
Late at night. Yeah, I just, a lot of my writing doesn't actually make it to the blog. I need to do more of that, but I'm obsessed with literature and poetry and things like that. So I write a lot kind of just like off the top of my mind, stream of consciousness.
Yeah. Absolutely. Gosh, that's awesome. It's pretty therapeutic too, isn't it?
It is so therapeutic. I learn better with writing too. Just everything. Writing is kind of like the center of my world. So
that's awesome.
It's so helpful.
Okay, so let's rewind. You're from Texas. Where are you from in Texas?
So I'm from Fort Worth, Texas, and it's a city kind of, it's near Dallas.
Yep.
I lived in Houston as well. I mean, I lived in a bunch of different places growing up. My dad was a fighter pilot forever, so.
Oh, that's unreal.
Moved around a bit.
And you went to, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't you go to Texas A&M?
Yeah, I went to Texas A&M. I graduated in 2016, so somewhat recently.
Okay. And then that's when you came to Los Angeles, but you're from a big, big family, or I know you're really close to your family, which I respect.
Yeah, we are. I guess it was just the moving around so much. I don't really have childhood friends from when I was really young. So my family is just kind of my center of my social world.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
We're all really close. My grandparents were really close with them and we all went to A&M. So it's just kind of a little cult.
And you, do you have brothers and sisters, like a bunch of them?
I only have two. So my little brother is 12 and then my little sister is 20 and she's actually at A&M right now.
Ooh,
so we're
okay.
Pretty close.
And your little brother will probably go there too.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see how he does.
So you're like diehard Texas A&M.
We really, really are. And everyone played sports there for the most part. So I feel like, I mean, not me. But my sister plays softball there right now.
I'm pretty sure that there's two kids from Scottsdale, where I'm from, that were like the quarterback and wide receiver there.
Yeah, Christian Kirk is the receiver.
Yeah.
He's one of my friends.
Okay.
I think
from
Kyle
Scottsdale,
Allen,
right?
Yeah, was it?
Yep, Kyle Allen's the other one. Wait, and he's not there anymore?
No, I think he plays somewhere else now.
Okay, I think he might be. Like my sister's age, maybe like 2 or 3 years younger than me. How old are you?
I'm 24. I just turned 24. So
okay,
I graduated high school in 2012.
Yeah, I was 2011. Okay, and so then you graduated high school and mm-hmm. or not high school, you graduated college and then did you do all 4 years and then leave or did you leave before you finished?
So yeah, I did all 4 years. I actually, when I was in college, I was studying political science and sociology because I've always, I mean, since I was 10, I wanted to be a lawyer. And
really?
I was obsessed with law. I love,
What
I
kind of
just,
law?
I like to argue.
Yeah, I
I
can
actually
sense
wanted to work in
that,
the
yeah.
criminal justice system, but then I quickly realized that it's not like the perfect kind of golden system that I would prefer, and I feel like it would have just eaten me alive
Okay.
when it comes to like actually, getting justice for people who deserve it. So I was kind of realizing that in college, and then I applied for an internship out in LA in fashion PR my junior year, and I got it. So I came and was out here for 8 months, about a semester in the summer,
And
and
were you doing any of the like blogging kind of stuff like that before you came out to LA?
so I started the blog to get the internship because I was pre-law basically, and I had so many companies asking me like what the fuck I was doing. So I like they didn't really understand why I wanted to come work in fashion PR. So I started the blog to kind of have like a running resume to show have some kind of social presence that wasn't just me and myself and my friends and things like that. So I wanted to make sure that I had some kind
Yeah.
of external brand that wasn't exactly only me and all about me. It was more about driving people to a website and doing all of that. And that's when I started blogging. And then when I moved to LA, I realized that people were doing it as a job. And I was like, hell yeah, I gotta figure out how to make this my life too.
Yeah, and what is the what's like the initial reaction from your parents or from friends or whatever when you're like, yo, I don't want to be a lawyer. This isn't my dream anymore. I want to actually go do blogging, which can be like, for a lot of people that don't understand that blogging is like actually a legitimate job, can sound like, yo, I want to go fucking sit on my Instagram for 10 hours a day and not do
I
shit with my
mean,
life.
it was not a positive reaction from my peers, I would say. No one understood it. And like, you know how the whole thing, when people don't understand something, they kind of just like knock it.
Yeah,
So
for sure.
I got a lot of crap for that. And I was, I went through a lot of BS back home. My family was a little bit easier. My mom is obsessed with me, obviously, as all moms are. So she trusts me. She knows my personality really well. So she kind of, after I explained to her what was going on, she did understand. My dad was a little bit more difficult, but he just kind of has to do whatever my mom says
Nice.
anyways, which is nice.
That's
And
really
then,
big. That's really big that your mom was on your side.
oh, she was so on my side. And my grandpa's an entrepreneur in his own space. So he and I are very close and we're very similar. And he's kind of the leader of the family. And he immediately accepted that whole blogging thing because we're so similar and he just understands my personality. So he was like, well, I trust you and I think what you're doing is great. So everyone kind of had to fall in line after him, especially.
Yeah.
So that worked out.
That's awesome. And so then you packed up, you left everybody. Gosh, that's how'd that feel leaving everybody after being in Texas your whole life?
I mean, you would know a thing or two about that,
Yeah,
huh?
living all abroad basically my entire life.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really. It's exciting for me. I get bored really easily, so I kind of like to do things to switch it up every now and then. And I mean, I have a few see each other and I see my family a lot. So it really wasn't as big of a change as I feel like I thought it was going to be,
Yeah, that's
but
good.
it was more exciting than anything.
Yeah, for sure. And when you went to LA, did you know anybody or were you just like, I'm going by myself. Let's do this shit.
Well, initially, so when I went in college, I went and I didn't know anybody. I connected with a mutual friend or like an old family friend, and we kind of became friends. And it created a little bit of a social scene here for myself then. So then when I came back a year later, I already kind of had a little bit of an idea of, the people around LA and things like that. And then I moved in with a girl who went to the University of Texas, which is about an hour and a half from my
Ooh, there we
college.
go. Okay.
And yeah, she's a blogger. We had a lot of mutual friends. So that was really nice. We could kind of do a lot of stuff together. And then since then, it's pretty easy to
Do all
find. I
the
mean,
bloggers know
it
each
isn't
other?
easy.
Does every blogger just know each other? Like, are you guys a gang?
I feel like a lot of us know of each other and we all follow and support each other for the most part. It's actually been pretty nice. And there's so many events
Yeah,
here
and I feel like the
that
events are
you
like
get to know everyone.
every single person that's in the blogging world is at all the same places. Or in
Yeah,
LA, or
it
in
really
maybe in
it's
LA.
Yeah, it's really similar. That and in Orange County, and a lot of the girls from there too. It's really fun to watch everyone kind of come together for the most part and support each other and go to things together. It's a cool community, I think.
Yeah, that is cool. It seems like it's a lot more friendly than it is like catty.
It is, and
I'm sure there's a little bit of both, but it doesn't seem like it's as high school drama as you maybe would think when it's.
Yeah, it really isn't, because everyone kind of understands that it's helpful to be friends with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and no one really, I mean, we see each other at events and stuff. I only have a few best friends, I would say, that are bloggers. Otherwise, my other best friends are just normal people.
Yeah. And when you're around normal people now, or when you're with like three or four bloggers and you're around normal people, is it, do they give you shit for doing blogging? Like, are they like, yo, get off your fucking phone or anything like that? I mean, I don't know exactly how much time goes into the blogging life, but I'm sure that it's quite a bit.
My normal friends are starting to understand it now, but I definitely like wouldn't be asking them to take photos of me and like all of that stuff, because that's just annoying.
And who are the people that are taking all of these photos of every blogger that's like by themselves on the street? Is it just another blogger?
I feel like a lot of girls have their boyfriends do it.
Ooh.
Like, I know so many girls that date guys that are like their Instagram husband. Like, it's an actual thing.
Yeah, but they don't show them.
Never.
Is that something that's really frowned upon?
What, showing your boyfriend and stuff?
Yeah, like for brands and stuff like that?
I don't think so. I feel like a lot of girls actually gain a lot of traction when they do show their relationship. Because people like to see love, you know? And I think a lot of my girlfriends do that, and they get better engagement on photos that they actually have their boyfriends in, which is interesting.
Yeah. Maybe it can go really both ways. Maybe it can be like if it's a person that is like super distasteful, then maybe it can go negatively, and maybe it can go positively if it's somebody that's, you know, a decent human.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, people just like to see couples. So I've kind of been seeing some of my friends navigating that space, which is interesting to me, because I would just never do that.
Yeah, that's one thing that me and you have talked about a little bit is how deep you're willing to go to like kind of maybe lose your like sense of self to just kind of gain like maybe a higher engagement or higher following or whatever, and sell out. But I don't even want to say it like it's a bad thing, because some people are willing to do it and that's okay, and some people aren't. But I know you're kind of on the side where you're like, you know, I just don't care that much.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and my blog and all that stuff is about me and my connection with the people that I'm talking to, and it's less about kind of a third party. You know, my best friends in life really aren't on my blog, Instagram with me, and I feel like relationships with people that you're close with are hard enough, and it's weird. I don't have a huge following, but I feel as if I shared that kind of stuff, I would have to answer to people if it ever ended, or if things went wrong, or if I'm stressed about it. Like, I don't want to feel like that's part of my public life ever.
Yeah. And what is it? Okay. So let's tell me what like the actual process of a day of blogging consists of.
All right. Well, I'll just do today, because I'm doing today.
All right, run me through today.
Because every day is really different. So today I had to get up and edit a YouTube video, and just did that. Had a little bit of a meeting with my.
How long does that take?
This morning I spent about an hour on it. I spent some time last night doing it too. It probably needs another half hour or so of editing.
And this is one that you filmed yourself?
Yeah. So I'm trying to get into YouTube.
Okay.
And I.
Okay.
Yeah. I filmed that myself. I did like a little bit of a beauty haul because this morning I was going to an event with NARS. So I found that to be a good time to do it. So my content all kind of streamlines together. And so, yeah, I did that. I had a meeting with my photographer, who happens to be one of my roommates. So
that's great. That's convenient.
Yeah, it's amazing. We just talked about Coachella and figuring out, we just got back from Miami yesterday, so getting those edits in time for the brands that we worked with. And then I headed to a meeting and an event with NARS Cosmetics. So they just wanted to kind of, they have bloggers there to show their new product.
And what do you do? What do these events entail? Like, what do you do when you go to the event? Just stand around, or you got to like actually get shit? You got to do shit while you're there.
So it depends. It depends on if you're getting paid to be there or not. I wasn't paid this morning, so I went and I just they give you a drink and food. They have all the stuff set up. You kind of meet the PR team, and then they put the makeup that they're trying to showcase on me. And then they just have you take photos and stuff like that. And then they send you home with a bunch of product that they would like you to talk about if you like it.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. So it's fun. It was a really light thing. There weren't really any posting requirements, which was.
And so for some of the more heavy ones, you'll go and they'll be like, yo, you got to post this, 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 and at this time. And
yeah. So like tomorrow, I just got an email actually about doing this event tomorrow, and it's a shoe company in Venice actually. So I have to go to Venice, and they're going to pay me to go to the store and shop. So I have to do like X amount of Instagram stories with all of this, you know, specific tags that they have. And then I need to take my photographer or my assistant there to take a photo of me in the store and post it on Instagram with all their specified tags and messaging.
That sounds so horrible that you have to go shop and get paid. It's crazy how when you're younger and you switch from like, yo, I don't want to be a lawyer anymore. I want to go do like blogging. And at first, your parents or most people would be like, what? You're going to make such like a great living and have fun and like enjoy your life making great money with as a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, and now with like the way that the world's changed, you can go and you can fucking shop and get paid to do it. And some people,
absolutely.
Some people are probably making way more than lawyers would make, and they're loving their life and enjoying
it. Making so much money. Some of these girls that blog around the LA area and in New York that are fashion bloggers are just raking it in.
Yeah, it's that's unreal. One thing that I think people don't understand is how much the people on social media, especially like bloggers or YouTubers and stuff, mm-hmm. are actually making.
Yeah, people with an engaged audience and who have an actual voice to bring to people. Because it's more than just being like a cute girl on Instagram. Like there's so many of those that having like an engaged and loyal audience means you kind of need to share some of yourself or help them in some way. And that just drives sales like crazy.
Yeah, that's insane. My little brother's like, God, I almost just messed up his age. He's 8 right now. And he was just like telling me the other day that he and most of his friends want to be YouTubers instead of being pro athletes or being like astronaut. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
They're like, I want to be a YouTuber.
Oh, God. It's crazy. Yeah.
Crazy,
it's so
right?
crazy. I can't wait to see how this unfolds in the next like 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, I only see it getting crazier, especially with augmented reality and virtual reality and shit. It's going to be, do you ever listen to that kind of stuff?
Well, I actually went to Sundance Film Festival last month and they had a huge VR event, slash like experience. So I got to do a bunch of different types of VR, and we did some that you could actually like feel, temperature and pressure.
No
and you could,
way.
Like, yeah, you could put this glove on and you could grab things and feel it. And that it was just absolutely insane. So beyond regular VR where you're just put in the position where you could see as if you're in that, you know, whatever world they're dropping into, this is actually very like physical.
Oh my God, dude, it's that really I absolutely love listening to that kind of stuff and researching or checking it out, listening to the stuff on YouTube about it. It's going to be fucking nuts.
I'm so excited, but I'm also like a little bit nervous.
I'm a little terrified. It's going to be the end of the world. It's going to be the end of the world.
We'll see. We will see.
Okay, so on your blog, tell me some of the things that you talk about. I know, I guess tell other people, but I actually really like the stuff that you post because, and I was trying to tell you to post more of it because I love the stuff that you talk about when you're talking about like the mind and the soul or like your heart or like just working on bettering yourself and mm-hmm. dealing with anxiety. And I know you've talked about cyberbullying, and we can talk about that too, but just talk to me about like everything you have on your blog. Some of those recipes you have on there are fucking unreal. Unreal. I was freaking out about one that was like peanut butter and jelly waffle sandwiches.
Yes, they're so cute, huh?
Oh my God, I was freaking out about those.
So yeah, on my blog, I just anything that helps me in my life maintain a healthy, balanced lifestyle or a healthy mindset, or something, you know, that inspires me to do something, you know, to wear something or to do something better or to travel to somewhere. I just like to share things that I find helpful and inspiring in my life. And it just is supposed to make, you know, the millennial women or the men who follow me, everyone's life easier. So whether it's like a quick, healthy breakfast that doesn't taste like crap, that they can whip up in the morning, or some kind of sale that's going on that I find helpful to my life, like something I'd like to, you know, shop, or beauty tips, et cetera, anything that's helpful, which is why I call it like a lifestyle blog. Cause it's kind of about building a really fun, healthy, balanced lifestyle, but in a more realistic way.
Yeah. And it's not, it's not like sugar coated. It's not like anything crazy. It's just like a normal person could go and check out your blog and take some stuff off of it that could actually make changes in their life.
Yeah. And that was ideally what that was for, especially when I was starting it in college. I didn't have, you know, I was taking 18 hours of school my last semester, and I had a dog, and I like had all these extra activities, and I was blogging full time at that time, trying to set myself up to come out to LA after graduation. So I didn't have any time to really, you know, spend, I don't have time and money to spend doing crazy things. So I just kind of found what worked for me as far as like, let's say food and health and wellness tips at that stage of my life. And I really went for tips that could help women who are in that stage or like working in their early 20s and they don't have a ton of money to spend on things. They don't have a ton of time. So I kind of tried to position my content for people like that.
Yeah. And it for me, what I've seen, it looks pretty spot on. Tell me what is like your diet or whatever. Are you not eating gluten or wheat or?
Yeah. So I'm actually really allergic to gluten.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah. I found that out like 5 months ago. I went and got like the actual allergy test done and found out I'm like seriously allergic to it.
Yeah. I found that out after almost 20 years of being so sick every day and not even thinking that that was a possibility for some reason. I just had like a terrible migraine every day of my life. And then every time I ate, I would just feel sick. So went to the doctor and he was like, yeah, you're definitely have an autoimmune disorder going on. So we found out it was gluten, which getting rid of that in my diet was kind of, it was hard at first, especially living in Texas, but out here there's so many options and it really has just totally, alleviated any kind of health problems I had, and I just lost so much weight and everything is just like, and my life is so much better.
Yeah. And I feel like in LA it's a lot easier to do than in a small town because there's so many like little places like that popping up and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many options and it's pretty easy to just order something on Postmates or whatever and have it delivered back home. It's a little bit different because we are just surrounded by fast food and just really unhealthy options.
Which is delicious. Which is delicious though, but.
So good. Like Chick-fil-A. I miss that.
Same here. Fuck. Yeah. I love Chick-fil-A. or like even like tortillas or like.
Yeah,
I can't do any of that shit anymore.
Well, I mean, corn tortillas are my go-to.
What's your favorite meal now that you learned to love?
Gluten-free life.
Gluten-free life. I guess you're celiac life though, aren't you?
Yeah, celiac. I like Mexican food a lot. And surprisingly, there's not a lot of gluten in that. My friend actually took me to a sushi place in Manhattan Beach last night that is all gluten-free.
Sushi's great. So, what are you going to even get soy sauce then?
Yeah, you get tamari, which is fine. It tastes like that. So they're totally into that. What else?
It's crazy how much better you do feel though. Like you don't realize it when you're eating all that stuff because you're just so used to it. But as soon as you take that stuff out of your diet for like a month, you're like, what the fuck just happened? Like I feel so much better.
I mean, and a lot of people are allergic or really intolerant to gluten and to dairy. So that's another thing I like to talk about a lot is just ways to go around that for people if you maybe aren't completely allergic to it, just ways to avoid it if it does make you feel bad. And people are so overwhelmed and like scared of cutting those things out of their diet because they think it just cuts out all your options, but it really doesn't. There are so many options.
Yeah, and, substitutes.
Yeah, types of food you can have that don't contain either of those things.
and taste similar, or even sometimes can taste better once you get kind of used to it.
Yeah, way better. I honestly think gluten-free, like if you use an almond flour or something, to be very specific, yep, it's always better. I love gluten-free stuff with almond flour in it. So I found stuff that I like better.
I've learned to like coconut more than anything in the fucking world.
Yes.
Coconut flour.
So good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy once you make that switch, how much better you feel. Did you see the movie What the Health?
I did.
Did that switch anything for you? Movies switch anything for
you? It always does initially, right? And then I do kind of go towards more of a plant-based diet just because I do think it's healthier, in my opinion. But sometimes it's difficult, you know? I like sushi. I like chicken tacos. So I'm not going to cut everything out of my life just because those things bring me like daily happiness.
Do you eat red meat?
Yeah.
Texas, steaks, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I don't have as much steak here. But yeah, when I go home, it's all, I mean, everything that my family eats is meat based. So it's always at the center of our meals.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I try to stay away from that stuff. But the dairy and the gluten is really my main thing that I stay away from. And I don't know. I love like the dining experience. I have to sit down and eat my meals. I rarely eat on the go. So I like to create recipes and things like that at home or go to places that offer healthier options that I actually will like. Cause I'm not willing to sacrifice taste for health.
Even when you're by yourself, do you like eating, like sitting down, or do you just like the company of other people and like the camaraderie of it and stuff like that?
I love eating by myself. I am
really
an introvert anyway. So yeah, I absolutely like, two nights ago I was in Miami and I was by myself cause my friends left a day early and I just took myself out to a really nice dinner. It was a sushi place and I just had the time. I do that all the time. I had like the time of my life doing that.
That's a good thing to be able to go by yourself and still enjoy your time and not be dependent on other people. That's, you know, that's something that a lot of people, are searching for.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been kind of more of, I wouldn't say, I guess a loner. That makes it sound bad, but I really do like being alone and having time to think and reflect and make decisions about like my feelings, et cetera. So I spend a lot of time alone, which is when I write as well. So
yeah, it's like that regeneration. I think there's a word that's a mix between an introvert and an extrovert. I can't remember what it is.
Maybe
it's
like
that's what it is.
Uh-huh.
That's what I am. Cause I'm the same way as you. Like I really need the alone time, to like regenerate and write and meditate and sit and just kind of like, regroup.
Yeah.
But I also really, really love being around people like company and family and stuff like that. It means a lot to me.
Yeah. I could see that. I have noticed that you're really big into meditation. I'm trying to do that. It's just so hard.
Yeah. And I wasn't into meditation at all. Even 6 months ago, like I had never,
yeah.
I had done visualization like with hockey where you sit and, go through like a play in your mind and think about what you're going to do. But I had never, I had never done meditation. And then this lady, one of my mom's friends, told me that I need to like try and get into it because I need to, detach from my thoughts, like just observe them instead of like feeling like everything. Cause I've really struggled with anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so I would get like anxiety attacks and I would always feel like I feel anxious. Like I feel like I'm going to, pass out or something like that. And with meditation, when you sit there and you, practice it, you can separate yourself and kind of see that feeling or that thought, of anxiety and not feel like it's you. Mm-hmm. It just kind of passes. So it's been huge.
That's brilliant. I mean, I'm just doing
sure. I honestly just started doing it on that app, Headspace. And there's like literally different packs called, like happiness, anxiety, stress, whatever. And I was just like, yo, anxiety's calling my name. Let me just try and do this. And it's like 30 sessions. And by the 30th one, I was pretty good at it. And now I do it every day and it fucking helps so much.
Yeah, I need to definitely do that. I've used the Headspace app before, but I've only done it like twice. I was not good at sticking with that.
It's like, it's kind of like working out where you go. Yeah. It's kind of like yoga where you go and you do it like three times and you're like, fuck, this shit is like, I don't enjoy it. Like, you know, I don't want to just do these weird poses. And it's the same thing with your head, with your mind. You're like sitting there and you're like, this is kind of fucking weird. But after you do it 10 times, you're like, okay, I'm leaving this. Yeah, I'm leaving this and I'm feeling like so much better.
Okay, so, cool. Yeah, well, you're convincing me.
Do you do yoga at all? I feel like I've heard you say you do yoga on your blog.
I try. I'm not one. I guess this kind of goes along with my anxiety issue as well, is I like to be really intensely involved in something if I'm working out. So like I was a gymnast for a really long time and I really enjoyed the fact that you not only are you not thinking about anything else while you're doing that, but you can't, because if you're upside down, if you're spinning, if you're learning something new, your body automatically goes into like a fight or flight mode and it's not thinking about all these other things. So like inducing fear or doing something that really drains me physically is the thing that I've found the most solace in.
So you like that serious intensity.
Yeah. Like I like to be afraid.
Have you never tried like hot yoga in like a 104 degree room? You'll fucking feel like you're gonna die with that.
Yeah, I have tried that. I just, for some reason, it's not my favorite, but I think it's the same thing that you were saying. Like if it's so new to me too, it's a new concept. So I think that kind of pushes me further away from it. And I think the more that I would get involved in yoga or something like meditation, actually sticking with it, I know it would be helpful in the long run and that I would enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an acquired taste. Mm-hmm. I was the same way before. And I always was like, dude, if I'm not close to dying in my workouts, like I don't feel like I did anything.
I want to be throwing up basically. And I got that a lot in my like younger years, but I probably need to relax a little bit.
So what kind of workouts do you do now? Like what's your favorite kind of cardio stuff to do?
So I do a lot of like interval training when it comes to cardio. So like a lot of sprints and things like that. I like to make myself stronger or quicker or something like that. I can't just work out to be like skinny. So I enjoy kind of a challenge. So I enjoy interval training. I think that's pretty quick and easy and it's intense while you're doing it. I do strength training now, like circuit training, which I like to switch things up with that as far as like the weights and stuff. And I actually started boxing when I was a freshman in college. There and that was kind of before it was the chic thing to do. But there's like so many like crazy trendy boxing studios now here in LA. And they're so expensive. But I went into my college town, there was like a MMA gym and this guy was just training kids. Basically he was training kids that were like acting up in school or training people who are actually MMA fighters and boxing, you know, professional boxing people, I guess. And I found his gym and I just kind of went in there one day as the only girl in the whole place. And I asked him to train me like he actually trains fighters. So he would put me in the ring and we would actually spar each other. And he used to punch me and my best friend did it. He used to punch us in the face. Not super hard. It was actually good. But like that is like, that's the kind of thing that I need to keep me so engaged.
Not after that. Not after what's the guy's name? Abuse. What is his name? Weinstein.
Yeah.
You're not getting punched in the face anymore by any guys.
No, not anymore.
But you're looking for that. You want somebody to punch you in the face like that.
I like that kind of fear because you're not thinking about anything else, and I'm not like too.
It makes you present.
Yeah, it makes you stay present. Present because you have to be because you are actually going to get punched in the face.
Yeah. And that's a really good metaphor actually to life and meditation, because meditation makes you stay present, because in all of life, if you're not present, that's when you do get hit like that.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
And that's when that kind of shit, like the ups and downs really get to you, because you're not in the fucking moment. You're kind of lost in like what's going on. I feel like you would like it. You gotta try it out. You gotta try it out for a month and then let me know how it is after a month.
Okay, I'll definitely do that. And Headspace sounds right up my alley.
You can try any of those. Headspace, Calm, there's so many of those popping up. But yeah, Headspace is the one that I liked the most. I think I also remember reading that you make it a really big deal in your bedroom to have like a little sanctuary or a little zen area?
I do. I mean, I'm just such an extremist. So obviously I'm like trying to get punched in the face and I'm working out and then I go home and I have like all my essential oils burning.
Swing both sides of the fence. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. So crazy. So yeah, I make my room just the most calm thing in the whole world just to induce some kind of calm zen attitude in myself.
Yeah. What temperature is your room? Hot or cold?
It's cold.
Great. My room's at...
It's at a solid 68 or 69.
My room's like at 40 degrees, freezing, ice cold.
It's great. It makes you... I don't know. I sleep better in that temperature.
Yeah, for sure.
No one wants to be sweaty and gross while you're sleeping.
No, I totally agree with that. Okay, tell me about the cyber bullying and the stuff that we were talking about briefly.
Yeah. Okay, so I am...
If you have no problem with that.
I'm totally cool with it. I have been wanting to start this kind of, social movement type thing for people who are going through cyber bullying is what everyone's referring to it as. I hate the term bullying because I feel like it kind of invokes this image of this big, like, bad bully and then like a victim who's smaller somehow, like you kind of get that image in your mind. So my background with that is, again, I moved a lot growing up and I was a model for like the bigger department stores, like for a long time when I was young. So I was moving around. I was always the new girl. I'm pretty quiet in general. And I was a model. So that was like just not a good formula for being friends with other girls, because girls were just not a big fan of that whole combination of things. In general, not everybody. So I got a lot of shit growing up, especially starting in middle school. I remember I came to a new school about seventh grade and I just was treated like shit by other girls. And I remember like eating in the bathroom and doing that whole number because
I've
everyone
been there.
Yeah, it was scaring me. Like I didn't want to, and at the same time, I didn't want to be involved in any of the drama. Like I just kind of always wanted people to act like I'm not there, except for my friends. I get really embarrassed easily. I don't like to draw a lot of attention to myself, which is kind of weird and counterintuitive if you think about like what I do for a living, where I put all of my shit online all the time. But it's easier to do that because it's not like something that's actively going on in person. It's something I can control, an image I can put online, and then like, people can see
it. Filtered a little bit.
Yeah. And I'd be sitting there watching them see it and watching people's reactions. I can just kind of put it out there and see what happens. But anyways, that started in about seventh grade. And then going into high school, I had like a really bad deal with girls who they just hated me. Out of eighth grade, they were messaging me on MySpace, like, you're such a slut, like, you're such a, I can't believe, like, you think you're so cool, et cetera, which is weird because I've always been, again, a very quiet person with not that many friends, and I would never say things like that out loud about myself, and people just kind of assumed I was one way, I guess, and I was just treated like crap. They would call me in the middle of the night all summer saying, like, how dare you, like, I don't even, just saying the weirdest things, like things that didn't even make sense. And they're threatening me about their boyfriends. Have I ever looked at their boyfriend? Like they would, make my life living hell. And then when I got into high school, I went to a small private school at this point. So there's not that many people there. We had like a sober howdy dance the first week, I remember, and we're all in this like little room and these girls were yelling at me that I was a slut and that I was a whore. And again, I was 14 years old. I didn't kiss a boy until I was almost 18.
Wow.
So like I was not even like looking at boys. Like they scared me too. So I was getting just all this crap from girls about that in person, to the point where teachers were noticing. Then it continued through high school, and then in college I was kind of seeing this guy before I went to college, who was in college and a couple years older than me. And the girls did not like that. And they kind of took that and ran with it. So when I went through Rush, it was just like a mess. And I got completely screwed over for the sororities that my friends were getting into. So I didn't do sororities that year. And that was hard. All of this stuff was hard for me, obviously, to be so ostracized, for sure. Which caused me to be even more of an introvert because people scared me. And I didn't want to deal with, you know, whatever image people thought I was. It was such a weird, I don't know, 10, 15 year period of my life. So, after that happened to me in college, it kind of continued. And at some point I was just like, you know, you get over these little like situations that happen to you. And every time that I got over it, I got a little bit better at dealing with it. And my real friends were, and I kind of found solace in my family and things like that. And so when I started blogging, I got a lot of shit for that. And I had people unfollowing me on Instagram because they thought I was trying to be a model. And I had people, I don't know, just being so weird and not understanding the whole thing. So talking shit about me behind my back and to my face. And so by that time, I was just kind of like, I don't even care. Like, I don't care. I know what I'm doing. I know that I really love this thing that I'm doing, and it makes me want to wake up every day. And I know that I can turn this into my life and live like out of college. I can live like my fucking dream life, which is so rare that you would even know what you wanted at that point in your life. So I remember kind of like breaking down to my mom when I decided I wanted to do blogging full time. And I was like, this is what I want. And I don't care if everyone thinks that I'm a freak. Like, it doesn't really matter. It's really
badass that you were able to stick with it after all of the people that you knew and shit like that.
It was so bad. It was so bad. And at that point I was like, you know what? It's fine. So, shortly after that, there was a kid in my college who I was not good friends with, but acquaintances with. And his little brother was getting bullied online pretty harshly through Instagram. And I found out a little while after that the brother had killed himself because he just couldn't handle what was happening to him anymore. Yeah. So I was thinking about it because that's happened a couple times to people that I know. And they say it's because of bullying, and a lot of it is cyberbullying because it's just easier for people to do that way.
Yeah.
So there were actually like comments and things like that released where you could see what these kids were saying to him online. And it was bad. And it was, you know, just so insulting to say to someone, especially in public. So I started thinking kind of why did I not do that? Like, why was that not my route? And there are so many things that go into the personality type that it would take to actually go through with that. If you're feeling so miserable to feel like you need to kill yourself to get out of it.
Right. But it's not that far. It's not that far off from like three or four more things go wrong for you, or you're just a different, you're just a couple character traits different of a person. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe it is easier for you to go that route.
That's what I was thinking. And so I've been thinking about that a lot. And I was like, there has to be some way, because the whole anti-bullying thing that everyone's doing now is great. And I think that changing laws and making and kind of shaming bullies and things like that, it's helpful. But I noticed that there aren't that many, you know, movements or campaigns that speak directly to people that are being bullied. It's more about like, okay, like we'll protect you from the bullies, or we're going to stop the bullies or whatever. But there's less empowerment of people that are victims of this, as you would say.
Yeah.
And I hate the word victim, but I guess that's what I'm going to use. So I wanted to kind of create something, a place online that you could go as a person who's dealing with being ostracized or rejected by your peers, and almost not only be able to relate to you know, people through that experience, but I want them to almost feel like they're cool for that happening to them. So my whole thing is, if I hadn't gone through all of that in the beginning of my life, which is not, it wasn't like I was being bullied or whatever, and then I was like, no, I'm better than this. It's cool. Like, I'm really strong and I know myself. It was hard. It was really, really hard. And it shaped me into a different person. And a lot of, you know, it gave me a lot of negative coping mechanisms, but it in the end gave me a lot of positive coping mechanisms. So by the time that college happened and the blogging thing happened, it was something I really wanted to do. I was able to be like, you know what? I've been here before. This has happened to me already so many times, and I don't care. So I like to say that experience made me more fearless in the way that I live my life when I care about things. So I want to start this thing called It Made Me Fearless, and I want to collect stories from creatives or people that feel like they've been, you know, that they went through a similar experience. And I would love to feature those stories on a website or on social media. So people that are, you know, people that's happening to right now can go there and look at these stories and kind of relate and feel empowered and look at these people that are really quote unquote like cool on social media or famous or whatever, or killing it in their job, and say, you know what, like they're exactly like me and I'm going to hold on for X amount of time.
Because that's pretty cool. I really like that. I think that's awesome.
I think it's cool.
I think that a lot of kids probably when they do go through something like that, they probably do feel like, and I went through similar stuff like that. I got bullied in middle school.
Yeah.
And I switched schools because of it in sixth grade. And I think that there is kids that like when you're going through that, like you feel like, yo, I'm the only one that's going through this. Like no one else has gone through something like this. You feel like you're kind of alone. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're helpless. And I think, yeah, totally seeing that there is not only someone to talk to, but that there is other people that have gone through the exact same things and have gone on to be so successful is huge, because it makes you feel like you're not alone. It makes you feel like it gives you hope, which is exactly what you need when you're in like a moment like that and you feel like all hope is completely lost.
Yeah. And I think that it's definitely, I like to lean on the success that comes after. Like I want to highlight that a lot, and I want to kind of make it seem like that time when this is happening to you, make you feel like it's going to be really useful rather than just like the crappiest time of your life, you know?
Right. Like make it seem like it's not just like you're just going to get through it and then look back and kind of laugh at it. Like you're going to get through it and be like, yo, I'm fucking going to make something of this.
And not only can you do that, but you can also go on to do that and then tell other people about it and help the kids that are going through it. You know, it's just kind of a whole circle.
For sure. I think I honestly think that's the biggest problem in the US. Maybe the whole world is the mental health problem, and not necessarily the mental health disorders, but more like the emotional well-being of everybody in the US, kids especially, especially the youth.
No, absolutely.
I totally think that's an awesome idea. I think that's great. So where are you at with, have you done anything? Have you tried to get it going at all?
So I have been thinking about this for the past almost 2 years now. And it's one of those things, like I care so much that it's hard for me to pull the trigger on things that I care about sometimes. Like I do sit around, I want it to be perfect and all this stuff. But this year recently I've decided, I'm like, you just got to fucking do it. This is exactly how my blogging thing started. I thought about it for a while, and one night at like 2 a.m. I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to do it. So I just like started the blog.
It's the exact same way as this podcast.
So I feel like right now I've already bought the domain name and started kind of putting together a Squarespace thing. I'm getting a logo made. My best friend's a graphic designer, which is really convenient. And so we're going to do that. And I'm going to start collecting stories soon as well. And just from people that relate to the cause. So if you know anyone, let me know.
I would do it. 100%. I would do it.
All right. Yeah, let's do that. I just like, I'm trying to find, you know, ways to share other people's stories, because I don't want it to be about me as much. Like mine, I feel like I'm kind of the jumping off point. And my story is more of the jumping off point. But there are so many other people that got so many things from their experience with this. So I want it to be more of like a social impact movement. I'm just collecting stories right now, finalizing the logo. Cause as an, you know, aesthetically driven person, I want it to be pretty looking.
Wow. That's so cool. And so have you told more people about it? Like your roommates all know about it and stuff like that?
Yeah. And my best friends have known about it for a while. I tell a lot of people about it, cause I kind of like to ask people what they think about the messaging. That's kind of where I'm at right now. I want it to be concise, but I don't want people to get it, the whole message mixed up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause you say anti-bullying campaign and you think of like, there's the KIND campaign, which is a really great campaign, but that's not necessarily what I'm doing, cause that already exists. So I'm trying to nail down the messaging to where it's concise, but it explains enough about what I'm trying to do.
Totally. I think that's awesome. I look forward to seeing that. I can't wait to see what happens when you move forward with it more. you got to do it. You got to just like get it going and just see what
I know. I do.
See what happens, because that's something that I think is so important in the world, and is probably, I feel like it's starting to get more noticed, like the mental health mm-hmm. problem and the consciousness problem and just the emotional well-being of especially kids, especially the youth. I think that's something that could, I mean, you could literally save a kid's life by doing that.
I know. And that's the most, and that's, I mean, I feel like that's, you know, just the things that you're called to do in your life. I feel like this is one of my definite things.
Go for it, Peyton. Go for it.
So scared, but I'm definitely going to do it. It's coming together right now. I've been better at getting it together. Yeah.
And I saw you reading that book. Have you read more of
Start
it now?
With
the
Why. Yes.
Start With Why.
I have.
Great book, right?
And that's been another thing that I've been thinking about a lot. It's kind of coincides with this It Made Me Fearless thing that I want to do, and it's all the blog as well. I mean, it's just such a nice, it's a good way to communicate to people like what you're about. And I love starting with a cause.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
That's incredible to me.
You got to check out the YouTube video after.
Yeah. I still need to watch that.
If anybody's listening, the book is called Start With Why. It's by Simon Sinek, and he has one of the most ever watched TED Talks, on which he turned into the book, or I'm not sure which one came first, but the book is the same thing as the TED Talk, and it's pretty cool. It just talks about like having a cause and starting everything you do with a cause rather than trying to do something for fame or for money.
A quick return.
Just doing stuff because it's something that comes from your heart.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
There's a lot. Everyone needs that in the world.
Seriously, though.
Like genuine caring about things.
All right, I have some questions that are from this like 500 question list. I picked out like just a handful of them. I didn't even look at all of them, so we're gonna run through them quick and just see what you got. All right, they're a little bit lighter than some of the stuff we just been talking about. If you had the chance to be immortal, would you take it? Immortal, never die ever.
Oh, this is hard. I don't think so. I would not.
I totally agree.
That's too much.
I think it sounds like it could be exciting. Yo, I'm never going to die. Like, what am I going to do? But when you get to be like 3,000 years old and you're like, you know, I think.
I just feel like you wouldn't care about anything anymore.
Yeah, true.
You know? I don't know. Yeah, I would not be immortal. No.
I agree with that. Okay. If you could wake up tomorrow having gained one quality or one ability, what would it be? It could be small. It could be big. It could be literally like, you know, being more organized.
Ability. I think I would be more like charming to people. You know, like I have a lot of friends that are.
You have a resting bitch face?
It's not that I have a resting bitch face. It's just that I am so bad at like small talk and engaging with people in that kind of way. So a lot of my good girlfriends who are really good at like the business side of blogging, for example, or networking and things like that, can instantly kind of resonate with people. And I find that I connect with people on a very deep level, but it's few and far between.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like which I feel like charm is very useful.
That's interesting to say. Maybe that's a maybe that's another thing why you're saying that you don't care as much about going and doing all of that like almost like tedious shit for blogging.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, next question. If your house caught fire, I guess your apartment caught fire, and you could only grab one item, what do you think it would be? Your computer, your phone.
Probably my phone.
That's so 2000.
I know.
That's so 2008.
I feel like
it's the most millennial answer ever.
It really is. I mean, in my apartment, I don't have anything. All my like special stuff that has to do with like my family and things like that aren't with me because they're too important. So all I have is like my life on my phone.
That's true. What about if it was your house in Texas?
My house in Texas. I would probably grab.
Still your phone.
I don't know.
No, I'm the same way. I honestly don't think that I have any like single item that would be like so sentimental that I would be like, I need that one thing.
I think so. I mean, all of our like photos and stuff like that are on the computer now. So I guess we would need the computer.
No, they're on your phone too. Oh, I mean,
yeah, unless they're... like scan family photos of our lives. That or my dad has this big box of all the patches that he got from the various bases that we were stationed at. Which
oh,
is
you gotta
like
grab
the
that.
Coolest thing ever. Yeah, so that might be up there. That's just like my whole history of life.
That might be the one that he grabs.
Yeah, he'll grab that. I'll put that on him. And then
you still throw the phone in your pocket. Yeah. All right. What is one thing that you do to reduce stress?
Workout.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's a huge one.
For sure. Yeah.
And it's crazy how when you're sitting around and you're like, fuck, I don't want to go work out. Like, I'm going to be more tired. Like, I'm already tired right now. Like, I'm going to be so exhausted after I work out. And then you get to the gym and you get the workout in, you get sweating and you're like,
exhilarated.
Holy fuck. Like, you leave and you're like, I have so much more energy. I feel so much better.
Yeah. No, that's exactly. That's my me time because I work out by myself, which is, I feel like every second of my day is my me time. But my working out time is like where I'm in my little zone and it is like, it makes me more. I don't know, exhilarated, more awake.
Yeah, usually. It does. It gives, it brings you more energy.
Mm-hmm.
It cultivates it inside of you.
Big into that.
All right. What was the strangest thing you ever did as a kid or a child or even younger, like a young child that your parents told you about?
The strangest thing. Oh, God, there's so many of them. I think one thing I remember so clearly is so I, as a young kid, I would say like when I started having memories, so I guess like when you're 7, 8 years old, I used to sit in my room. And,
7, 8?
Yeah, right?
What grade is that? I can legit remember.
Well, like kindergarten would be, or maybe
okay.
6. Yeah.
Is that
I can remember preschool, but I feel like my actual memories started more in kindergarten.
Yeah, same.
I used to sit around in my room and for some reason I would always have these moments that I was like hit with. And at the time I didn't understand it because you're like 6 years old, but I would just be thinking in my mind like, whoa, like I'm alive right now. And I would just be sitting in my room like moving my arms around, like feeling the air on my skin and just being like, I could do anything. Like I could like breathe in this weird way or like write this thing down or like feel, I just felt so weird.
That's a crazy memory to have.
I did that all the time and it would just happen to me suddenly and I'd just be like, whoa, like I felt like I was just like literally living in eternity in that moment and I was like 6 and I was just aware.
And you literally were, it's your consciousness just coming into the body for the first time being like, I'm in this little kid's body. I can move my fucking hands like this and breathe. And
That was like the weirdest thing. I had a lot of weird things I would do as a child, but that was one of those ones that I remember and it still happens to me today sometimes. So
I was a weird kid too, for sure. I was a fucking weird kid. All right. If you could relive one day of your life, what day do you think it would be? What one would you pick?
Oh God, I don't know. I really have no idea.
You don't know one day? Prom?
Not one day.
Or was that a tough one for you? Prom?
I just don't like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. What about a great memory with one of your roommates or your roommates that you're living with or the day you moved to LA, I don't know, going back home and seeing your family?
I would think actually
Christmas.
It would be a day that when I used to be a gymnast because that was my favorite thing in the world. And I competed when I was young at the Junior Olympics for the state of Florida because I was living in Florida. And I would go back to that, I guess. Because that was so exciting.
And
so, gymnastics was my favorite thing ever.
Say it again. You competed for the Junior Olympics?
It was the Junior Olympics. It was one of those ones that was just it was in Disney World. So it was a huge competition.
Okay, yeah.
They called it the Junior Olympics, but really there were only like 10 states there. But
Is this cheerleading or gymnastics?
Gymnastics. I was a gymnast until I was about 12 or 10. And I was at like almost college level. Back then.
Gymnastics is crazy. Gymnastics is a sport that if you see in person, like with your own eyes, when you're 10 feet away from someone, you're like, what is going on?
And it's also one of those sports that I did it forever. And I watched these girls that go to the Olympics who are, not that much older than I was. when I even, you know, quit or started doing cheerleading and stuff. And it is so much harder than it even looks.
For sure.
Like, I can't imagine doing half that stuff. And I did it for 10 years every day.
Yeah. It's pretty freaking crazy. I see the people on those, like, on the bars and stuff like that are just like doing the flips and they're letting go and catching the next bar.
Yeah, that was my favorite. The bars and the beam were my favorite for sure.
The beam too. Dude, that shit's nuts. That shit is crazy.
Yeah, but I like, it goes along with this whole fear thing. I always loved the beam because it's really the scariest.
If you're super into the fear stuff, why don't you get into like MMA, boxing?
Well, I did do that for a little while, but I haven't been able to find a
gym. Did you really?
Yeah.
You went into the MMA world.
I didn't actually fight. I just did that training with my instructor and I,
okay, yeah.
I enjoyed that. Cause I was like, I can't like actually go be an MMA fighter. Like, I don't want to like ruin my face.
Right.
Because I didn't want to like do it with my life. But yeah, no, I would do it here.
Blogging wouldn't let you have like the cauliflower ears.
Yeah. That wouldn't be like the cutest, but I mean, hey, I would tell a story, I guess.
Yeah, seriously. Okay. What are three qualities that you value?
In other people or like in myself?
No, in your life. Like what are three qualities that you value? I don't want to say things that you value. I would say qualities.
Qualities. So I value like honesty, just complete brutal honesty and from myself. Reflecting on my own self and from others. Okay. I value, is that like right? Like traits?
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Traits is a great word to put it. Yep. Absolutely.
Honesty. I value, like purpose. So I don't have that many people in my life, honestly, that don't know what they want and that aren't excited about something.
Yeah.
I always try to surround myself with people. Yeah, it's just what I'm drawn to. And that's my favorite thing about people, I would say, actually, is that like, I don't have friends that are confused about stuff like that. I mean, you know, not everyone can know exactly what they want, but mostly everyone I know is purpose driven, which is huge. And that completely changes my life on a daily basis when I'm surrounded by people like that.
And for sure. And I'm sure that your roommates are like girls that are all uplifting. I know that it's probably, if you're living with them and you're that way, I'm sure you wouldn't be living with people or for a lot more than a little while if they weren't. So that's cool.
Oh, absolutely. And I only, everyone, I mean, that's like, I have no type as far as like romantically goes, like physically, but I always, always, always go for people that are doing something that they've completely immersed their life in.
That's cool.
And that's like the only constant. I'm so obsessed with that. It's just such a good energy to be around. And I find it so attractive in other people. What else?
That's great. One more.
I really like, obviously, a good sense of humor.
That's a good one.
About things. And not even like obvious humor, just like being able to be like, okay, whatever, like, fuck it, don't care. Like, just taking things with a grain of salt and kind of mocking yourself and being lighthearted with yourself.
Yeah, I think being lighthearted is a huge part of living life because it can, when you live at like such a crazy depth. Like, I'm super, super deep, but like, I try not to get there. I try not to be that way all the time because when you live there, it's so much, it's like almost like so much to chew on at one time. It's like
so exhausting. It's so mentally and emotionally exhausting. So I have to detach myself from that sometimes. And I have a very dark sense of humor too, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
which I find to be like really which important when it comes to coping with that. Yeah.
That's great. Okay. Last one. If you could tell your 16-year-old self something, what would you tell him? Tell her?
I would say to be more unapologetically confident. I was always so afraid.
Love yourself.
Yeah. And I was so afraid to be confident because girls were not my biggest fan anyways, just consistently. So I was always like, well, I need to like, you know, just be quieter or be less obvious or like wear something that blends in more. And as I got older, I started getting that way, but I would go back and say, immediately do it now. Like, don't let people make you feel like you need to hide yourself because you're making them uncomfortable for whatever reason.
It's funny how you're an introvert and you, or you've always been kind of introverted, but it's not that you don't like people. You're almost, it's almost the opposite. Like the, you feel like you're not confident enough to be around them, and they take it the other way where they take it as if you think you're better than them. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost a vicious cycle.
Yeah. It's a, and it's really, honestly, it's a lack of communication and like perspective, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Has that changed? Has that changed at all for you now? Like, do you get along with people a lot better now than you did when you were younger or in high school?
I think it's because I'm more confident and more at peace with myself, and I'm not trying to be like hiding myself. You know, I found my blogging stuff like that is actually so helpful. It's really been helpful for me, and it's completely changed my life, even through the clothes that I wear and things like that. It just makes me more myself, which has totally changed everything for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's given you, you found like your purpose, you found like your voice and stuff like that. I'm happy for you. That's really cool.
Well,
I'm glad that you made that move to get the fuck out of being a lawyer. You could be in law school right now.
I know.
Getting the book so hard with your professor yelling at you, and
yeah,
you gotta go file some people for divorce and just
kind of depressing, really.
That is a little depressing compared to where you're at right now, and you're happy.
Yeah, a little less inspiring. Yeah, so happy.
That's a great thing to say to your 16-year-old self. Just everything is going to be perfectly fine.
Do your thing.
Do your fucking thing. Okay, for you, tell anybody that's listening where they can find any of your stuff, any of your blog, your Instagram, whatever other stuff you're on. Let them know.
All right, so my Instagram is just my name. It's Peyton Sartain. Everyone says Sartain. It's actually Sartain, but it's spelled like Sartain.
Spell it.
Sartain.
Okay, great.
So Peyton, Payton, Sartain is my Instagram handle. And then my website is hustleandhalcyon.com. And Halcyon is spelled HALCYON.com.
What does Halcyon mean?
So it means like containing it or maintaining a calm and inner peace. And when I started blogging, like I said, I did not expect it to be my job. It was more for like a resume purpose.
Yep.
So I used a more obscure word that I really liked the sound of. And now I'm like, when I look back on it, I'm like, crap, that's so annoying. But I couldn't change it. So
that's okay. It's catchy. I like it.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then I'm also on YouTube. You can just search my name on YouTube and my channel will come up.
Peyton Sartain, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And do you do Twitter? Do you do like
I do Twitter.
Snapchat.
It's my
on Snapchat all the time.
Yeah, I like Snapchat. It's kind of like phasing out for me though. But
yeah, I don't go in it at all anymore.
Yeah, it's phasing out. Twitter, I wish I was good at Twitter. I'm not good at it, but it's just my name too. My handle is Peyton Sartain on Twitter as well.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope that everybody that's listening goes and follows you and checks out your blog and checks out your Instagram and all that stuff, because your blog is unreal. The stuff that you write, I love all of it. I'm happy for you. And I'm really happy that we got to talk.
Yeah, same, finally.
I know. It's been a long time since we've been trying to. And now we finally did it. And I think a lot of the stuff that you had that you said can really help a lot of people.
Well, thank you for having me. This has been great.
No problem. And let me know anything about your campaign or anything that you're that's going on with that. And if I can help it out at all, let me know.
All right. I will do.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, Peyton.
Okay. Thank you, JT. See you. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye. What's up, everyone? That was the talk with Peyton. I hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't hear her social media and stuff like that, her Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter is just at Peyton Sartain, and her blog is www.hustleandhalcyon. The Halcyon is spelled HALCYON, hustleandhalcyon.com, or on YouTube, or just her name, Peyton Sartain. I hope you guys enjoyed that. If you're listening to it on Anchor, you can send me one of the voice messages. If you're listening to it on iTunes or Spotify or any of those, please leave me a review or message me on Instagram if you got any ideas or any shit. Thank you very much for listening. I love you. Cheers.
The The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.